In years past, we have celebrated 4th of July at the house, backyard, and always had a good time. I looked at those temperatures and I said, folks, there's no way any of us would enjoy that kind of a day. And what are we talking, 93, 95 on that particular day? And I'm thinking to myself, my goodness. So I kind of glad I called it that way. Everybody can sit in their decks and put their feet in cold water and eat popsicles. That's what we used to do. And I remember when I was stationed over in Syracuse, New York, at Hancock Field over there. That's how we kept cold in the hot summers over there, because they get pretty hot over there too. We get a bucket of cold water, throw a bunch of ice in it, sit in the back deck, the porch we had out that way, and put our feet in there and just eat popsicles. And those are some rough days back in those days here. 1 Peter chapter 2, looking at verses 13 through 17. We're at verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And of course, verse 16 is our key verse here tonight. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Martin Luther, though we don't agree with a lot of things, we do with some things. But he said, a Christian is perfectly free, Lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, servant of all. And this is the dichotomy of the Christian life. We're free from the ravages of sin. We're free from the bondage of sin. We're free from the ignorance of sin. Yet we are saved to serve, to be servants, not to be served, but to serve. Thomas Jefferson stated, and I realize that a lot of our founding fathers may have had a great deal of respect for the scriptures, but not all of them were saved. They still have a great deal because evolution hadn't taken hold at that particular time. Some of them were spiritualists, and I believe Thomas Jefferson was one of them, but he nonetheless still had a great deal of respect for the scriptures. And he says, can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are the gift of God, that they are not to be violated but with His wrath? I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, that His justice cannot sleep forever. I believe we're living in a time when the justice of God is not asleep. We're beginning to see, we're beginning to reap what we have sown. So we are firsthand witnesses to what happens when a country turns its back on God and walks away from those principles and those precepts that bring forth the blessing of what we are witnessing in a nation that's in a self-destruct mode. There was a time, there were still evils that had existed, but there was a vast majority who still had a great respect for God and had a great respect for the Scriptures. But we've gotten away from that, as Paul E. Shearer, a former pastor and professor, put it straight as an arrow. We find freedom when we find God. We lose it when we lose God. We see it literally unfolding in our presence today. But I believe that what is even more chilling is as much as we can, this being played out in America, we can't for the life of us see this same thing is taking place in Christian lives, in Christian homes all across America. The blessings of God are not there as they ought to be, or as they could be. If not, then where are the voices? Where are the transformed lives that should be standing out like square pegs in a round hole? Obvious where we stand. We tend to be a lot more silent than we are verbose when it comes to spiritual truths. But like Lot and his family, we're becoming far too comfortable in a world that is not our home. This world's not our home. As the song in Scripture says, we're just passing through. So within a world that is not our home, And our testimonies are continually being compromised as if trying to fit into an absolute alien world. If I tone down my rhetoric, praise God that there are pulpits in America that are not toning down the rhetoric. But there are those who tone it down because they don't want to be they don't want to offend people. They want people to come and to feel absolutely comfortable. Well, comfortable to me in a church is when it's really cold outside, it's warm inside. And when it's really hot outside, it's really cool inside. But if I come into a building and I've got sin and the message is being preached, I should be uncomfortable. And unfortunately, I think they miss that whole concept in many churches today by watering down the word and preaching huff and puff messages, if you will, by preaching those. What they're doing is making people feel comfortable while they're still in their sin. A sinner ought not to be comfortable in your presence. Not that you're going to beat them on the head every time they turn around with the scriptures, but if they know who you are, they know where you stand, and it's evident where you stand, they ought to be uncomfortable. In fact, they probably ought to avoid you. If that's the devil had his way about it. But Lot became very comfortable. His family became very comfortable in the world. So when God began to speak, it was like, I don't know, what are you talking about? Have no clue. So, this world is not our home, and our testimonies are continually being compromised. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, I believe, amplifies this, chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're supposed to be men and women of the day, not of the night. We're supposed to be walking in a world that is in darkness, but we're to be the light of that world. So, it amplifies what Jesus stated in his prayer in John chapter 17. If we can just turn there very quickly to John chapter 17, which is, by the way, remembering that is the Lord's Prayer. That is where he has prayed for us, literally prayed. He didn't give us a model prayer. He was praying for you and me. But in verse 15, he says there, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Now, that's his prayer. That is the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, is to keep us from the evil that's in the world. And the evil, as the Scripture defines it, does not have to be egregious or heinous crimes or egregious or heinous sins. It doesn't have to be rape or murder or incest or any of those things there. Evil in the eyes of God is anything, or I should say anyone, who is disobedient in anything that God asks us to do. So, in the eyes of God, that is wickedness. In fact, he even says that in Samuel concerning Saul, that disobedience is the wickedness of witchcraft. That's God's perspective. And so, well, it's just one little white lie. God said it's evil. So it doesn't make any difference in your mind how big or how little it is. In the eyes of God, it's evil. It's that simple. Whether we're parsing our words so that we lead people to believe one thing when we're trying to really tell them something else, and then we turn around, well, it's not my fault if they didn't get what I was trying to say. We can be pretty clever when it comes to covering up our sin or trying to justify it or trying to reason it or rationalize it away. But he says there verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. In other words, our thought processes, our citizenship is in a different world. We are ambassadors, is what we are. But he says in verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Don't you just love that? How can many Christians today actually be sanctified through the word of God if they don't really believe that what they have is the word of God? Amen. I mean, it seems like a simple truth to me is that if we believe that God has kept his promise and has preserved his word, then we can be sanctified to the degree that God wants us to be sanctified and not wonder, well, did I miss something or something missing or something not there? So verse 18, it says, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. That's a mission. It's part of the Great Commission to send us out into the world so we can be lights in the world in the midst of darkness, that they can see. Oh, so that's God's perspective. And that's God. They may not like it, but that's too bad. That's what it is. Someone's got to show them what it is. But in chapter 17 and verse 20, he said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their work. So the idea is to get out there into the world of darkness, to shine as lights unscathed by the darkness that's out there, and to be a bright shining light of the gospel of Jesus Christ so that we can win others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he's getting at there in verse 3, neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their work. If America was truly a Christian nation, there would be more of us than there are of them. Amen. I mean, there'd be more believers than there are unsaved people. There'd be more vessels of light than would be vessels of darkness. So in John 17:14, it said, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So John 17:14 reminds us that if the world and its godless philosophies is readily accepting of you and I as we are and our testimonies, then there is something desperately wrong with our testimony. You think about it. Either it's not there or it's not as sharp as it ought to be. It's not as keen as it could be. And so, hey, he's a good old guy over there. And we can pray for revival for America. But I believe we've got to stop praying for revival for America. Let's pray for revival of the heart of the believers who profess to be saved. Because you can't have a revival. I'll get that in just a minute. So we can pray for revival for America. However, 2 Chronicles 7:14 is not so much directed at a national movement as it is individually, if my people. So that would preclude a lot of Americans out there today who are not God's people. Just because you live in America and just because one goes to church doesn't mean that we're the people of God. The people of God do more than live in America and go to church. They're out there getting the gospel out, whichever way God will lead them to do that. Get them out there door to door, handing out tracts, talking to people here, talking to people there, living it, standing up for what we ought to be standing up for when it comes to the Word of God. So, in my estimation, America is not a Christian nation. It was mentioned here earlier. I don't really believe that. Now, you hear that America's a Christian nation. Well, again, what makes America a Christian nation? It would have to be a nation that's walking in obedience to God. That would be a Christian nation. Even the Israelites couldn't do that. So America is not. Now, it doesn't mean that in Israel there weren't men who were walking with God and walking godly walks. We know the prophets that existed and the apostles and disciples that existed and many others equally as well that had come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But America is not a Christian nation, but a nation with Christians living here. So next time someone says, we're a Christian, say, no, we're not a Christian nation. We're a nation who has Christians living here. That would give you an opportunity to really get a conversation going, I would think, I would hope. But for revival to take place, what do we need? What is necessary for a revival? Think about it. What's necessary for a revival? Death. Believe it or not, death is necessary. Now, death being necessary, if one is alive, revival is not necessary, all right? You don't put those paddles on someone if they're breathing. You only put a paddle on them if they've stopped breathing and their heart's flatlined, then you kind of revive them, if you will. So, if one is alive, revival is not necessary. America as a nation is spiritually dead. But remember this, prior to our salvation, we were dead in trespasses and sin, Ephesians chapter 2:11. I got one in here somewhere. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. Wherefore, remember that ye being in past time Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. Verse 12 says that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promises, having no hope without God in the world. Spiritually dead. The vast majority of America is spiritually dead. You can't revive them because they were born dead. They were born alienated. I mean, they were already in that state. Same as you and I were. When you and I were first born, we were in that state. We were dead. We were alienated and separated from God. Then someone gave us the gospel. We responded. We received Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And now we're alive. A lost world is not alive. They're going through in a physical sense, but spiritually speaking, they're nowhere. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13 reminds us again. There the Bible says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened," that is brought to life, "together with him, having forgiven you," what? "All trespasses." So we were once dead. Now in Christ we are alive. And we are the ones, therefore, that need revival. Now, we may not need it as much as someone else needs it. We may be in the process of kind of spiritually kind of going into that backslidden state, and it seems like our testimony is beginning to die, and maybe our hearts are beginning to die. We're not in love with the Lord as much as we ought to be in love with Him. And He's not our passion of our heart. Our homes are not exactly what they ought to be. And listen, going from home to church, there should be no difference. We need to really think about it. I mean, spiritually speaking, coming from your home, coming to the house of the Lord should be no different. And yet we're raising young people who see a complete difference between what goes on in church and what goes on at home. The same things that go on at home should go on in the church as long as they're godly. And the same things that are going on in the church as long as they're godly should be the same things going on at home. So the transition should not be a big deal. It should just be a matter of fact. So we are the ones who can die, spiritually speaking. That is, be spiritually dead to the things of God. Yet alive. We don't lose our salvation, but we lose our fellowship. That's what needs to be revived. Our fellowship with God needs to be revived to that place and that point where God can invest in us the power to make a difference in the lives all around us. So what has been alive, and if we are to pray for America, it is about souls getting saved. As praying for revival, it is about God's people getting on fire for the cause of Christ. We can be going to a fundamental Bible-believing church. It doesn't mean that everybody within that church is going outside these walls out there and living for God. Or God is the priority in their lives. Or that God is the passion of their lives. They come out of a sense of obligation. They come out of a sense of obligation. Should do this. It's the right thing to do. But their heart's not really in it. So you can't have churches holding services that are more like a rock concert or advertising that we're like you. We like our sports and we like our beer too. So you just come here and you don't have to worry about being offended. And I expect that the world and our communities don't get all excited about a God who no longer sees any value in transforming lives. Well, what's the purpose? Why would I want to inconvenience myself to get up on Sunday morning and go to a church that's just like being at home? I can read my newspaper, drink my beer, lounge by the pool, go golfing, go boating. I can do all those things there, and I don't have to go to church. I'm just like those people up there. At least that's what they said. So Christ didn't endure the cross, the shame, the rejection of His own, so that we could live our lives the same way a godless world would live their lives. And that's where we need the reviving. Our lives need to be as different as day and night. Literally. So if salvation isn't the beginning point of a divine transformational change in my heart and home, what's the point? What's the point of being saved if I'm not going to submit and surrender to the transformational power, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the indwelling Holy Spirit of God? So if the depth of my relationship and my walk is not more important than risking my testimony concerning Christ, are the worldly pleasures really worth that price in the end? Is such a testimony to be that cheap? 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10a, Paul says, "Demas hath forsaken me." Why did Demas forsake the Apostle Paul? He says, having loved this present world. Our church is at full when services are called because the world has a greater attraction for more of them than the church does. You say, well, that the church preached more relevant messages. Well, the world, the liberals have tried to do that, and they've got big crowds, but who knows where those crowds are going when it comes right down to it. But it hasn't made a change in America. I mean, we had all those big mega churches and had all the big crowds there, and lives were being transformed, people going out there and witnessing in the world. Listen, I hate to say it, but I know that even some of my own family members, not my children per se, but my siblings and so on there, and my nephews and nieces out that way, they go to church and they have no problem bellying up at the bar and having a good time, tattoos here, tattoos there. I think to myself, where is the Christian priority? Oh, but we go to church. Is it somehow that's the sum total of the Christian responsibility and the Christian duty? For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And that's the problem. They have been convinced and they have been led to believe by some pulpits and by some ministries that you can have both You can have the life of Christ and still have your feet in the world having a good old time. Well, they're going to have a rude awakening one of these days. So we are perhaps more like Demas than we realize, so caught up in investing our lives in a world that hates God. Why are we trying to win favor with a world that hates God? And if we live for God, they're going to hate us. Now, maybe you don't like to be hated. I don't like to be hated. But if I'm going to be hated, I want to be hated for all right reasons. Amen. So much so that we crave, or I should say we carve out, those little niches for God time. That's what I call God time. That devotion on the back is wonderful for lunchtime, pick me up if you're at work or something like that. But if that becomes the sum total of your experience with God throughout the day, that's only carving out some God time. We need some mega God time. We need lots of God time to get through this world. Amen? So we carve out these little niches for God time. Then it's back to indulging ourselves in the world. Well, I get my little sticker on the thing. I did my devotions today. Now I can go out there and kind of like we looked at there in Proverbs chapter 7 where the woman, she said, I paid my vows and so on there. And then she goes out in the street as a prostitute. Really? Our prayer for revival should be that every heart, every home, and every church that has some spiritual life, that they would heed Revelation chapter 2. Remember the message to the church of Laodicea, if we can turn there very quickly. Revelation chapter 2. And looking at verse 4, he says there, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. The point he is making there is that there was a time when Jesus Christ was the passion. He was the passion of their heart. He was the passion of their life. He was the passion of the home. And it's like, even today, you see someone get saved. They're excited about their salvation. They'll come to church. And they want to sit right up in the front. They want to sit so close to the preacher that in case he slobbers, it'll be like holy spit on him or something. I don't know. They're taking notes. They're doing all those kind of things. Then a year or two, they kind of roll back a few pews. I said, I'm glad it's back, almost empty back here. It's big churches. And this church here, you can sit in the back pew, and it's like being in the front anyway, no matter where you are. But, you know, they begin to migrate back, and then they begin to drop off maybe Wednesday nights, or they'll begin to drop off Sunday school, and they'll begin to drop off Sunday evening service. All those things begin to go by the wayside. So there's that gradual backsliding that, I mean, I've been down that road, I've traveled that road. I know what it's like to travel that road. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Pray to God that you don't ever have to know that. Back's in condition. But Vance Havner once said, the tragedy of today is that the situation is desperate, but the saints are not. Think about it. We are in desperate times. And they're becoming more desperate all the time. We are, because of our lack of passion, leaving our children and our grandchildren to a world that is getting darker exponentially with every passing day. We're leaving them, and it's going to get that way anyway, eventually. But I would rather have been able to see my children grow up in a world than I grew up. My grandchildren grew up in a very similar world where God was important, church was important, family was important. All the things that are falling apart and disintegrating today. So, the tragedy of today is the situation is desperate, but the saints are just not desperate. We are free, not free to do as we want, but free in Christ to do what we ought to do. The flesh rejects this truth, but remember, our flesh is used to being in bondage to its life-threatening, life-destroying pleasures. Our flesh wants what our flesh wants. I don't care how long you've been saved, your flesh is still going to give you a runaround. It's going to give you a run for its money. It still wants to do what it wants, and it'll find its way in the weirdest of moments and the weirdest of times. But we will never be done battling our flesh until a rapture occurs and this mortal puts on immortality and this corruptible puts on incorruption. The flesh will no longer be a problem. Our freedom in Christ is the freedom to live our lives as they were meant to be lived before the fall. You really think about that. Can we possibly do that? Is it even possible to do that in a fallen world like we're living in today? I believe that we can for the most part. experience living life in Christ the way it was meant to be lived. And how was it meant to be? To have fellowship. To be in communion with the Lord. To be in love with Him and Him in love with us. Bad things will happen all around us. But the truth of the matter is, we can still weather all of that in the shelter of the Lord Jesus Christ. So until we willingly get to this point and place in our lives, we will remain spiritually dead and in need of revival. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, you and I who are saved, we are God's people. All those other ones out there, they're not God's people. God would that they were, that they would leave the family of Satan and join the family of God, but they're not His people. So when people say, you're praying for revival for America, say, no, I'm praying for revival in my own heart. Then I'm praying for revival in our home. Praying for revival in our church. Because that's the process. So if my people, which are called by my name, and that's very, very inclusive, called by my name. If you're saved, you're called by His name. And we have to humble ourselves and pray. But that's not enough. And that's the problem I have with all this business of going around here, every church in America, Catholic, Roman, I don't care what it is, all getting together and having this prayer vigil for America today. Prayer in and of itself is not going to change everything. He says, because in the next three or four words, he says, and seek my face. Yeah. And seek my face. That means if you're going to pray for revival, it has to begin in us first by seeking God's face on a day-to-day basis. So if you're going to pray for revival and not really get in the Word of God, to study and to meditate in the Word of God, it's not going to happen. So shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. So we've got to seek the face of God. Turn from a wicked way. We can't keep all the old wicked ways and seek the face of God, because we'll never find the face of God in that process. He said, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Boy, we have got some work cut out for us. But it begins with us first. Revival begins with those of us who feel that somehow maybe we've kind of slipped along the wayside, that our passion for the Lord and our love for the Lord is not what it once used to be. And we do. We need to fall on our face and pray and say, Lord, I want to get back to where it was when I first met You and You first received me. And get that love back to where it should be. And let that love be the motivating force to seek the face of God. And once you've done that, it's amazing how easy it is to leave all those things behind us that really don't matter at all. Amen? All right. That's my 4th of July message. We do have prayer cards here somewhere. Let me see. What did I do with mine? Mine was up here somewhere. I didn't bury it. Oh, here it is. I tried to call Beb Beauvais today. I didn't get any answers, so hopefully she's up at her daughter's house. She kind of lives just around the corner, so she's got a nice pool up there. So maybe if it's as hot out there as it is here, she may have gone to her daughter's house and where it's air conditioned and so on up there. So I don't know how Kirk is doing. Have you heard anything?
Chris posted an update this morning. He had surgery. They did a biopsy. They took a little one of the tumors and took it off. So now they've got another biopsy out.
Okay, so now it's waiting on the biopsy. It's the same situation with my son, Ron, waiting for to get in to get a biopsy so they'll know if it is lymphoma. A biopsy will tell them what character it is, and then they can begin whatever treatment we'll have to follow after that. So just praying for God's word. I haven't heard, I haven't seen anything on the internet from Brother Pastor Ron Meldrum from over in Vineyard, Maine. I haven't heard anything about what's going on there, but he was going in also for possibility of a brain tumor for a scan. I haven't heard of that. And again, I put my Aunt Judy Webster, pancreatic cancer, and Kirk Holloway, surgery for brain tumor, whatever, however it is they're going to do it. So that would be the update there. Any other prayer requests we need to know about here tonight? Justin. So you're going to Connecticut. Now again, say that was for what? Okay, purchase a vehicle, okay. Any other? Carrie.
My friend Rhonda, I mentioned her one time. Okay.
Karen, did I see your hand up?
Yes, actually, Mike and I have a chance to put some of the things we're talking about tonight and on Sunday morning practice. Our grandson wants to come back, well, he says for a week or so, so he gets to go back on the road. So I just pray that he's never been in church, he's never been to Vacation Bible School. He's 18, he just graduated, and, you know, he's never really been in church. So I just pray for
His first name is?
His name is Nathan.
Lincoln.
Nathan. Yeah, he's Amy's oldest.
Somehow between here and there, things get translated differently.
So he's Amy's oldest child.
Okay, yeah, I do.
So.
All right. Remember that in prayer. All right, we'll get started here tonight there. And Brother Steve, if you get us on these long-term requests here tonight. Justin, we don't really have anybody pregnant at this particular time. Just continue to pray for the mothers, especially now in this hot weather, who have children there. Jack, spiritual needs and growth, would you pray for those there? Pete, would you get these salvations? Pray for these salvations for us tonight. I'll have these prayer requests here tonight. Clark, how about missionaries of the month? I didn't change those there. Jim, I forgot about you back there. You handle these other prayer requests, the ones that are on the backside here. And then I'll close with praying for Brother Guy. All right. So we just switch things around. Steve, you're going to do the first one there, and Brother Jim's going to do the big one on the back. All right.
Our very supportive Heavenly Father, tonight as we come before your throne of grace. Lord God, we are so thankful tonight for the gentle and loving and pointed reminder that, Father, it's our own hearts that must be revived first, that we might have power with you and power with other men, that we might live a consecrated and sanctified life to be that witness that you called us to be. Well, Father, tonight, as we lift up a great number of prayer requests tonight, Lord, we think of so many that are very needy, but Father, you are the supplier of all things, and your grace is sufficient for all. And so tonight, Father, we continue our petitions for our churches in America. Lord, to experience that so-called great awakening yet again, Lord, for our churches that are founded upon the Word of God, for the churches that are Bible-believing and fundamental churches, to get a hold of the real sense that Lord, the urgency is never greater, that we need to be so much the more looking to you and living for you, that we might be effective witnesses to draw others closer to yourself, to your Son Jesus Christ. For Father, this nation is great and you have blessed us so richly, and yet we're letting it slip away as we give into societal pressures. And so, Father, we just pray that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would guide us tonight, guide those in your churches throughout this land and throughout the world. Father, we also pray tonight for Clark's eye as, Lord, you've sustained him for so very long. We just continue to pray and hold him up before you and ask that, Lord, you would continue your work there and that his eye would continue to remain benign and that there will not be any issues there. Father, we also pray tonight for Lorraine as she continues to struggle with her, some severe health issues. And just pray, God, that not only with the health issues, but also, Father, with the emotional strain that it is and the hardship that she perceives as well. And Father, we just pray that your will is accomplished there. Which we pray tonight for Danny Rawson, Lord, for his muscular dystrophy and for the related problems with that. Father, we just pray that, Lord, you would be a very great and a real comfort to Danny. And Lord, that as you continue to work in his life, that, Father, he'll continue to seek your face as well. Father, healing, of course, is completely and solely up to you. And so, Father, we just pray that your will is accomplished for Dan. Father, we also pray that Linda F., she deals with her health issues. Lord, you know the very extent of those, and we just continue to lift her up and ask that, Lord, your Spirit would work in her heart and her life and her body. Father, we pray also for Rosa, for her foot pain, for the heart and her eyes, and Lord, for the diabetes and all these things that the physical things that tend to work against us. Lord, we just commit them to you and ask that, Lord, you would continue to sustain her. Father, we also pray for Sophia C. and, Lord, for the very serious health issues that seem to be ongoing for her and for her parents as well. Father, we just pray, God, once again, that your will is accomplished, that you would intervene as you see fit. Father, we pray for Brother Dan Charlton, for the meetings, and for the financial needs for your ministry that you have them in. So, Father, we just pray for the family there, Lord, for meetings for churches, for scheduling, and Lord, for truth and spirit of those that make professions of faith, that, Lord, they'll be real and they'll be so very genuine that, Lord, you affect such a change through the ministry that you have, Brother Dan, in. Lord, we also pray tonight for Brother Johnny as he serves the city of Burlington once again, Lord, and the dangers that he faces on a daily basis. We just continue to lift him up and ask for your protections, Lord, for your grace to abound. And Father, that as you give opportunity, Lord, he'll be bold and courageous to share his faith as well as you give sway and opportunity. Father, we just pray tonight also for our church family, for the pastor, and Lord, for the other staff, that, Lord, as we continue in this day and age, Lord, you'll continue to strengthen us in your word and through your spirit, that probably will not succumb to the sentiment of the society around us, but, Lord, that we'll stand strong on the faith of Jesus Christ. And so, Father, would you pray all these things tonight in Jesus' name.
Lord, in the area of pregnancy needs, Lord, we lift up the glories of Burlington Care and Pregnancy Center, Lord. We think of the recent baby bottle drive that just ended, Lord. We just ask you to just help continue to bless them, Lord. Just meet all their needs financially, Lord. And we just pray for souls to be saved and then through this ministry, Lord. We just thank you so much for the blessing that they are for us, Lord. And until Roe versus Wade is overturned and abortions are once again outlawed, Lord, we just ask for you to just help them to be strong and continue to bridge the gap, Lord. Just providing free medical care for pregnant women in our community, Lord, and just for giving out the gospel each day, Lord. And we ask for you to get all the honor and glory in them as a result. But we also thank you so much for all the blessings that you've given to the different women at our church and who recently had the babies, Lord. And we just thank you so much for the success and the health. And we ask for you to help them to stay cool during this time, Lord, and just get all the rest of the family, Lord, and just lift up these children, Lord, and ask for you to help us to come alongside of them and to show the difference that you've made in our lives, Lord, and just show them the gospel, Lord. And your son's name we pray.
Dear Lord and Father, we pray so much for spiritual growth in our lives, and we pray, as Pastor said tonight, that we would be in your word, and that we would get that passion that we had when we first were saved to be closer to you and communication with you, and to spread the word among our neighbors and whoever you guide us to talk to. We pray for these folks that we've been praying for, that they would come back to you, and think of Elizabeth, Suzanne, and Tommy H., Chris S., Jason S., Victoria B., Jerry Q., Justin P., Brittany and Sandy S., Jordan H., John M., Dale R., her daughter, Jacob C., Keith D., Andre F., Chelsea P., and Emily H. We just pray that you would continually to make them uneasy until they come back to you or come to you in faith to receive Christ as their Savior if they haven't done that. We thank you and ask all of this in Jesus' name.
Father, thank you for this opportunity to be in this free country and to be able to gather together and not be concerned about any of the legal ramifications in many places on this earth this day. It's illegal to even be like we are now, and it's illegal in prison and to preach the gospel. We just thank you that you are a God that can overcome these issues and overcome these obstacles of each heart, Lord, and each person needs to hear your word for salvation to be brought to them. We do lift up these people, Walt S., Sharon, Todd M., Jeff and Jen and Travis S., Patty B., Corey B., Austin, Kenny F., Cindy and Paul P., Shanna S., Sarah C., Tyler G., and Danny and Paul F., Jim P., Nathan D., Gary R., Jeff and Mike, Stephen P., Liz, Sean, Beverly, M., Bob R., Mike and Terry B, Joe B, Jake S, Mark H, and family, and Chris H, and Jacob. We just ask that you might work in these hearts of bringing them a witness or a testimony, a family member. They're on the list because somebody brought them up, and that, Lord, that there's a definite need in their lives to come to you. We ask that you might work that in this day. In this name.
Our Father, tonight we come to you, Lord, on behalf of the short-term prayer request. Father, we pray that you'd be for them, that you'd meet their needs. We thank of Tom and Vicki's house, Lord, that it would sell and just have your will and way there. And then, Father, we pray for Calvary Life, a live streaming to reach and change lives. For Christ, we just pray, Father, that many people will come to know you through this ministry. Then, Lord, for our young people, we pray, Lord, for spiritual growth and discernment. We just pray that you'd have your will and way there. Lord, for a greater boldness to share the gospel with others, and just have, give us the courage, Lord, to do that. Then, Lord, for Mike, often leg infection, we pray, Lord, for healing for that. And then, Lord, just have your will and way. And, Lord, for our college students, for a good paying summer job, Lord, that meets your financial obligations. Then, Lord, we pray for our police officers and our EMTs and the personnel in the fire department. We just pray, Father, that you just meet their needs according to your will. Then, Lord, for Jack's feet, we just pray, Lord, that they remain infection free. Just have your will and way there in his life. Then, Lord, we pray for increasing our desire to serve the Lord faithfully. Just, Lord, give us that desire. And then, Lord, for Nellie Winterstein, we pray, Lord, for her health issues and for various pains. We just pray, Lord, that you meet those needs according to your will. Then, Lord, for Carrie's upcoming cataract surgery, we pray, Lord, that you'd be with her and just strengthen her physically and spiritually, Lord, and let her have her faith and trust in you. Then, Lord, for Ron Gang, Lord, we pray, Lord, for him, for another biopsy surgery, for the lymph nodes. We just pray, Father, that you have your will and way there and meet all his physical needs. And then, Lord, for Pastor Miller's health and his issue of finances, we just pray, Father, that you'd meet his needs according to your will and family. And Lord, we pray for Judy Webster, Lord, for pancreatic cancer. We just pray, Lord, that you'd strengthen her physically and draw her closer to you. And then, Lord, for Ken Holloway surgery, for a brain tumor, we pray, Father, that you'd have your will and way there in his life and meet all these needs now. And be with the families of each one of these that are suffering, Lord, that you strengthen them physically and spiritually, Lord, and just draw them all closer to you. And Lord, have your will and way. And tonight we'll thank you and praise you, Lord, for all that you do in Christ's name.
Thank you, Father. We think of Dr. and Mrs. Segley up to the Middle East, North Africa. Lord, this gentleman and his family, Lord, are in one of the most dangerous areas of the world as far as being Christian goes. And yet, Lord, he keeps on keeping on. Pray, Lord, that you put a special hedge of protection around him to guide him and direct him. That you would have much success in planting churches and winning people to Christ. We also think of Pastor and Mrs. Nathan Saint, who are ministering in Chile. We think also of Pastor and Mrs. Tim Myers in Australia. Lord, it's good to hear from all these folks from time to time. And Lord, it just makes our walk here in America relatively a piece of cake compared to what some of these folks are going through. Help us all, Lord, be better witnesses, better Christians, every opportunity, every day, every moment we have. We don't know how much longer we've got on this earth. Lord, help us to make the best of it and give you the honor and the glory for it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we also think of the additional request of Mike and Karen.
Concerning grandchild Nathan, we pray that you'll guide and direct in their circumstances there, but above all, we pray that if Nathan does not know you, as it would seem, then Father, may through Mike and Karen being able to witness and to share the gospel that this young man, Lord, it can only be done by the power of the Holy Spirit, We pray now that as the Holy Spirit will precede, so that when the gospel is shared, there will be a response that will be very positive. Lord, we think of Justin's trip to Connecticut for a vehicle, give him traveling mercies there, give him wisdom and decision making there. Lord, we think of Carrie's friend Rhonda, very discouraged. Lord, discouragement oftentimes is a result of not getting what we think we should, or maybe not getting what we feel we ought to get, or that maybe somehow God, you're not fair. But Lord, when we know you and we're close to you, Lord, we realize that whatever circumstances we're going through, they're a growing experience and an opportunity. So help Carrie to be a good witness and give her the right scriptures and the right verses to share, so that Ron will be able to get over this discouragement by, Lord, if she doesn't know you, but Lord, falling in love with you. Lord, we think of Pastor Guy and his wife, Jean Goodell. Pray that you'll guide and direct in their lives. Lord, it's been a very discouraging ministry over the years. But Lord, he has hung in there and he's been steadfast all these years. And Father, we just pray that, Lord, something will break forth, that some young couples will decide that, Lord, it's not necessarily the programs in the church, but it's the message. And Lord, Brother Guy has a powerful message to preach. A lot of knowledge to be able to share to help many young couples to grow in their faith. Lord, bring those along that could be a real blessing to the other folk that are in the church, as well as being a real blessing to Brother Guy and his wife as well. Father, we go forth. May we be safe over the holiday. Lord, may we be safe until we come back together in the house of the Lord. Be with those who will be sharing the gospel through the lessons. The message is all on Sunday. Lord, may we be prepared well by your Spirit and your Word to be able to communicate it effectively. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.